Blog Talk Radio.
TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. Talk radio show.
Right now,
trying to multitask. Again, Lolita with a T, not a D. Man, that's our special guest tonight. But before we go any further, let's get into it, find out what's going on with our special, other special guests. On the other side of the ATL, give it up, Hot Chocolate, because you guys are special guests as well.
So, I like being a special guest. I like that. Happy special. Monday, TM Hyman Radio Fam Social Lab. I want to say happy Father's Day weekend as well to everyone, especially to my son, Mike. And I'm not a fan, but, you know, it ain't where you from, it's where you at. Got to give
where
a shout
at,
out to
baby?
The Atlanta Hawks, baby, in those Eastern Conference Finals.
That is last night. So let me tell you, I happened to be hanging out last night at Ember with a ton of folks from where? From Philly. It was a nail-biter last night between Atlanta and Philadelphia. And, man, listen, at one point I thought Philly was going to come back and get it. And then I had to, you know, turn away and you know, go get something to drink when I realized that, oh, boy.
Ice trays.
Oh, boy. Congratulations to Atlanta, man! Listen, the they did it. None of us saw that coming.
They did it.
None of us saw that coming.
Yeah, they definitely pulled it out for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. All the way live from Charlotte, North Carolina, feeling much better. Madam CeeLo Boston, what's going on?
What's up, everybody? What's going on? Happy Monday night.
Doing well.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Happy Monday night indeed, as we get ready to jump into this conversation with our official special guest, Miss Lolita Walker. That's Lolita with an A, not a D. And let's go ahead and welcome her into this conversation. We're talking tonight about power, passion, and purpose. My friend Lolita, hey, welcome to the show.
Hey.
Thanks for
thank you.
Taking time to stop past. What's going on?
Absolutely.
Hey, you're so late.
Ah, thank you so much. It's Monday, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. We are getting it in with this juicy conversation, so I am feeling great. I see you got some great people on the line, so I can't wait to jump into it.
Hey, well, we are
Miss Lolita, you have been everybody, Lolita with a T, Lolita with an A, Lolita with a D. We're just glad you're here.
Thank you so much. It's Lolita with a T. And when I say that, I say a T, not a D, because so many people pronounce my name Lolita all the time. So, you know, if you can't, it's okay if you can't do it. You know, everybody can't. Just go with low, and I'm fine to be low tonight. I'm absolutely fine to be low tonight.
Well, Lo, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself to people who may not be familiar. I am very familiar, came in contact with you several ago. And man, we exchange salutations in the morning and we've made a connection since we have met on Clubhouse. So introduce yourself to the people.
Oh, absolutely. So I am Lolita E. Walker. I am the owner of Walker & Walker Enterprises. All things Lolita are found at lolitawalker.com. But I am a certified life leadership and executive coach. I am a TEDx speaker, all the great stuff you said before. I'm an author, poet, all of that juicy stuff. But at the end of the day, what I do is I really help power women like those on the line, as well as those listening in, as well as dynamic and diverse organizations to really feel the power in their pause. So that's a lot of words to just say, I help to sit you down, to take a pause, and to pull out the greatness that is already inside of you so that you can shift to a different type of action. You know, oftentimes, particularly as women, we give so much to everyone else and we rarely take time to pause and get that same amount back to us. And likewise, within organizations, having leaped from corporate America after 20 years, leadership teams rarely take a time to pause and go back to the drawing board and make sure, you know, our decisions and our actions are in line with where we need to go, and sometimes that looks like a shift. So that's what I do.
And you do it extremely well. Now, you
well,
did focus
you.
On women, and so you, it's women exclusively, because I'll tell you, you know, folks like myself and many others mm-hmm. benefit from your skill set mm-hmm. and your passion every day. But just to clarify for those listening, you specialize in servicing women.
Yeah, so that's so interesting that you say that, because so many men have reached out to me. So I wrote my first book, was called The Intersection of You and Change, and it's a women's empowerment guide to help you leap to your unknown, right? And so many men and then so many couples have leveraged that book to just spark conversation and to do some inner work, right? So I work with dynamic women, absolutely. But on a secondary team, I work with teams within organizations who are multigendered. And that is because we all need the work. My passion is with women, but I absolutely work with men in a group setting because, as you see, like, there's just so much that men can benefit from too. Absolutely.
That's dope. You just said that you wrote a book called The Intersection Between You and Change. Talk about that mm-hmm. a little bit more. That's a dope.
Oh, absolutely. It's called The Intersection of You and Change, and it's 17 Stops of Self-Discovery. And here's the kicker right here. When I started the book, I didn't really know what it was going to be. So I was out of a divorce. I had a new child. My father had not too long passed from stage 4 cancer. I had leaped from corporate America, and I'm like, what the hell am I going to do now, right? Went on my mini retirement, as I would call it, until you look back and you realize, like, hold up, wait a minute, this paycheck is not looking the same anymore. And when you recognize something like that, you find yourself, like we all do, at this intersection of us and a change that we have to make, a decision that we have to make in our lives, and usually it's around some type of change. So if you look at the cover of my book, it literally was what I was feeling at the time. It's like if you stand at an intersection, you could choose to go left, you could choose to go right, you could choose to stay in a complacency of where you are. You could choose to go back because you already know the burdens and the obstacles that you have to leap over, right? Or you could make a decision to go into the unknown, which might be straight ahead. And as you continue straight, you might have to veer left, you might have to veer right, but the journey is the process. And so this book right here takes the reader through a couple of short, every stop is in the book, starts with a poem. So Journey Junction, Transition Turnpike, Gratitude Gateway, all of those, but they start with a short story of me on my journey, but I never answer it. Instead, I leave you with what I call soul work or exercises for you to really challenge your thinking a little bit, because the journey is yours, right? It's not mine. I don't just want you to read about it. I want you to do the work. Like, that's where the action happens right there, right?
So, Lolita, when you were writing or when you were getting ready to embark on your new journey.
Mm-hmm.
You said that you realized financially it wasn't mm-hmm. equaling to what it was, and that was one of your reasons for,
mm-hmm.
or your major reason for, you know, taking the leap. Even
mm-hmm.
with that decision being made,
mm-hmm.
how did you move forward through the fear?
Yes. Oh, my gosh. This is so what I love to talk about. So, and I coach people through this all the time now, primarily, one, because I'm trained in it, but two, primarily because I lived it, right? So I remember, I'm going to tell you guys this right here. I remember being on the floor in a fetal position, literally crying. Now, don't forget it. I was in corporate America for almost 20 years, so I was very good at what I did. I was at a great position where I was. I was on a leadership team making decisions. I mean, I was in a great spot working for my company. And, you know, when that chaos hit, I remember literally being in a fetal position, and I was crying. And I remember it wasn't until I really started calling out gratitude, I kid you not, I started being like, God, thank you for these tears that's coming out of my eyes, because some people don't even have that. I thank you for, literally, I just started saying gratitudes out loud. And there was this blanket of calm. That's the only way I can describe it. I've never felt it again. It was literally felt like there was a blanket being put over me. And I was calm. I literally was calm. And I remember in that moment, I went downstairs, my tears dried up, I went downstairs and I wrote what I call my Be Free Creed. And literally I say it every day. I end all my rooms in Clubhouse with it. I say it every day. My son knows it. And it reminds me that when there is something in front of me, When there's a barrier before me, when there's fear that's standing right before me, I can look to my left and to my right, and I can pick up my courage and walk into it because I'm clear on a foundation that I stand upon. I'm clear on what my core values are. I'm clear what my strengths are. So when we talk fear, I love the exercise of talking to fear. Like, what is the fear? What does it look like? What does it feel like? What is it saying to you? What are you saying to it? Because when you can do that, then you start to really shrink that fear. That fear starts to shrink because you gain clarity and confidence. And you remember that I've been here before in the face of fear. And guess what? I'm standing right here because I've already got through it. So it's a mindset, right? It's a mindset shift because fear will handcuff you if you allow. And it's scary. So how did I get through it? Literally, I kid you not, gratitude. But I stand on the foundation of my faith. I stand on the foundation of my strength. I know that I've been here before in some type of way, some type of feeling, and I know that I can get through it. It doesn't mean it doesn't happen, but now when I'm triggered, I know exactly how I'm going to walk through that fear. So that was a lot, but I hope you get it.
No, for sure, for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Folks, you are in tune to the Social Lab. Our special guest tonight, Ms. Well, I don't know if it's Miss, Mrs., Ms.
No, just
what
Miss,
is it?
It's just MS. It's just MS. It's Miss.
Lolita Walker with an A, not a D. Tonight we're talking about
a T, not a D. With a T, not a D.
we work.
Listen.
There you go.
I can't keep up with the tags. Hot chocolate, I got this. You are in tune to the Social Lab. Hey, you talk about a blanket of calm. Gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
Gratitude.
Yeah.
Being in that fetal and experiencing a blanket of calm. I could actually relate to that to a certain degree, right? I mean, it's almost like, you know, it's equivalent to breathing in and breathing out 10 times without breathing in, and right? It's a mindset. Gratitude. Like, how have you been able to build off of that? Because what you said is, I've never felt that feeling again, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there was a light bulb, something shifted in that moment with gratitude and importance of it.
Yeah, so this is what I say. I say it was nothing but God. Absolutely. I feel that when you surrender, remember I told you when you stand on your core, like, you know, there's people who believe that they believe, and we all go to God when there's something going wrong, right? Everybody prays to God when there's something going wrong, but how often do we wake up and say thank you? How often do we say thank you for and what we're grateful for? Thank you for opening up my eyes. And I tell you, I live in the spirit of gratitude, but I think that that blanket of calm that I'm describing literally felt like something was put over me. Like this calm just came all at once. It covered my body. It was kind of scary. And I just sat in it and was like, surrender. And literally from that point, I got up off the ground and I went down and I wrote the Be Free Creed. And literally, I don't know where the words came from. They just came. And they came exactly how they were. I pinned it to the wall and I said it every day until I knew it. And that's what I do. I believe it. I trust it. I know it. You surrender because I know that my faith and my strength have wings to protect my fall. Like, I know that. And when you can remember, when you can shift your mindset to what you believe and what you stand upon, then you walk, talk, and behave differently. Absolutely. Now, I do believe that when you're standing at that intersection of you and change, there's choices that you make. All of them are not going to be great choices, but they're choices that lend you on the path that you're going to get to where you want to go. And that's when I talked about, you know, kind of that clarity and that confidence and that commitment of walking like that. But I haven't felt it before. It doesn't mean that I don't walk in gratitude. Like every morning I get up, my son says his affirmation, I say my Be Free Creed, and we talk about what are you grateful for today? In this moment, what are you grateful for? We end the night with a prayer, and what are you grateful for? It even got to the point where he complains a lot. He's 9. And I'm like, if you're going to complain, then put a gratitude on it. Like, for every complaint, knock yourself out with a gratitude, because you got to live like that.
Wow. Can you share what your Be Free Creed is?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So it goes like this. It's in the acronym BEFREE, B-E-F-R-E-E. So it goes, believe in your strengths and open your mind to now explore. Expect moments to have meaning, which will propel you to soar. Face your fears head on, yet hold them at bay. Then release what is not progressing you on today. Experience the unexpected, what you would normally let pass by, and then embrace the renewed you who is now free to fly. Be free. And I sit in that. And I say the end of it every day, I am Lolita Emmanuel Walker. Boom.
How long did
it take?
Very powerful.
How long did it take to write that?
No, to memorize it.
Oh, yeah. Listen, let me tell you something about affirmations and creeds. You put it by your, I was going to say your window, your mirror, and you say it every day, literally. By the end of the week, because you say it, you believe it, you start to trust it, you start to work in it, you'll know it. Make it a habit. Absolutely. You can download that one right at my website.
Take on. That subconscious will take it on, you know, mm-hmm. after you repetitively repeat it enough. And Lolita, mm-hmm. Can you share your website for people to listen in as well as your social so people can tap in?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So if you want that Be Free Creed, it's free. Download it right on my website because I say it all the time and people always ask for it. Lolita Walker, L-O-L-I-T-A, walker.com. Everything is there. So my podcast, my book, all of that great stuff is right there at lolitawalker.com. Upcoming retreat, you name it, I'm doing it. Right there. And then the social is at Hey Coach Walker on Instagram. But you can get everything off my website. Twitter is like Lolita E. Walker.
And that's how we can get a hold of your book as well?
Oh, absolutely. LolitaWalker.com. You get to LolitaWalker.com, all things go to every which direction for me. Yes, everything's right there.
Okay.
It'll say the book right at the top. You click it, it says book. You can get it from Amazon. It'll have a bunch of links right there you can just grab it from.
Our special guest tonight, ladies and gentlemen, Lolita Walker. she is the author of The Intersection of You and Change. Check her out right now by logging on to lolitawalker.com. Tonight we're talking power, passion, and purpose. Lolita helps women and high-performing organizations, really to increase their clarity, confidence, and commitment by mm-hmm. achieving the results they're looking for. She uses an approach called EAT, Embrace, Act, Thrive. Talk to us about mm-hmm. EAT a little bit, because we all want to eat a little bit more.
I know that's right. We all want to eat a little something, right? This is eating to nourish you intentionally. This is embrace, this is act, and this is thrive. This is embracing where you are, right? Acting in your strengths and then thriving in the greatness that is you, and then where you want to be, right? So when we talk embrace, where you are right now. Everything might not be going rosy. And so it doesn't mean you have to say, I love it. It means that I'm standing right here. It means acknowledging first and embracing where you are. You are not your situation. You are not your circumstance. Absolutely not. But you need to recognize your circumstance. In my TEDx talk, I talk about the three terrains of change, which is embrace, act, and thrive, right? And what it tells you and what I share is that there is a momentary interruption in your life. You might be experiencing it right now. It could be 5 minutes, 5 months, or 5 years. Nelson Mandela was imprisoned for 27 and a half years. That was his momentary interruption. But guess what? When he came out, he was elected the president of South Africa, right? Like, you are greatness where you stand. What are you going to do when you decide that it is time for you to pause, reflect, and embrace exactly where you are right now? Because if you allow yourself permission to pause, that is when you're your most creative you, right? That is when you are doing your best work. That is where you are your most be free. Allow yourself to be in that space. And that doesn't mean don't feel the emotion. Yes, feel the tears, feel the anxiety, even sadness, feel your joy. Allow yourself to celebrate your wins, but embrace where you are right now, because only when you can acknowledge that, then you're able to move forward. Acting is acting in your strengths. And the key is you first got to know what they are. So if I ask you, what are your top three strengths? You need to be able to say them. And oftentimes we aren't able to say them readily and have them available. So the work I give to folks, which I call soul work, we do exercises on understanding your strengths. But then you will know your strengths. And not only will you affirm your strengths and create a personalized affirmation typically when I work with people, but then you'll know how you've demonstrated them in the past. And the key to an affirmation is not only I am power, I am passion, I am purpose, right? It's knowing why are you that? How did you show up as that? Right? It's no need in just saying the words. You got to say them because you trust them and you believe them and you're sitting in that. And the way you do that is to know how you've demonstrated it before. Because when you're at the intersection and you're in change, you need more than just words. You need to remember how you felt and where you were when you got over that thing. So that's acting in your strengths. And then thriving in the greatness that is you is really all about taking action and moving on those. Yep. Eat. You got to eat. Eat.
That is awesome.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm telling you, this is good stuff right here. When you know what you know and when you know who you are and who you are, you move differently, right? You think differently. You surround yourself with different people because they are going to lift you up and help you to see where you want to go on your train. Absolutely. I believe it. I know it. Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, absolutely. And I believe it and know it as well. You know, mm-hmm. I think one thing that you just called out, and I think a lot of people struggle with it, it's awareness.
Mm-hmm.
It's awareness, right? A lot of people focus so much on where they want to be or they focus on what they don't have. They have a hard time, like, being honest with themselves, right? It's mm-hmm. like over the week, and so if you listen to this show, you know I'm a little crazy. I mess up names a little bit, and I'm a little crazy. So,
it's
you
okay.
Know, I was, you know, doing some people watching over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I was out enjoying the sun and the rain, right? The sunshine and the rain over the weekend in Atlanta. And, you know, awareness is important, people. And I think there's some people who are not aware of the fact that they're extremely large. I'll even go as far as to say extremely fat. F-A-T, physically fat.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, you need to realize that you're fat. Like, stop wearing skinny people clothes, small people clothes, and you're
right.
fat. Like, your awareness is really not where it needs to be. And see, mm-hmm. I struggle sometimes with people who see themselves in one light when other people see them in a different light. There's a disconnect. Like, how do you help people to tap in to their reality, not where they want to be or who they think they
mm-hmm.
are, right? I mean, because I think there's
mm-hmm.
it's the fake it to fake it. I believe it. I believe in
mm-hmm.
visualization. I believe
mm-hmm.
in all of that. But it's hard to get somewhere when you're not in sync with reality. Like, help
mm-hmm.
us with awareness and how to refine that clarity that we need in order to get to the next level, because it's important to be aware.
It is.
I think
it
they're
is.
Aware. I think they're just in denial.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, unaware, denial. Coach, what's the difference?
No, I'm with you. You know, awareness is really being conscious of something. And I believe that when somebody puts on pants and they're too tight, I know when I put on jeans and I can't fit them, I'm aware. But I might decide to keep on pulling up and keep on moving around until I can button that button because I'm convinced
right.
I'm not going up another size. Like, there
right.
is
people
the awareness.
People make them in our size, so we buy them.
Right.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. But I think, like, to your broader question really is, how do we help to shift people who have this false perception of reality? Here's the thing. It's
false
their perception.
False perception of reality. That is my point. False perception of reality. I'm not talking about tight jeans. I like tight jeans. I'm talking about, y'all know. Go ahead, Coach.
Mm-hmm.
False perception.
No, I'm just saying is that, you know, reality is one thing, but everybody's perception of that might look different. So this is what I tell people, too. You have to be, and I have this lead ladder, but at the bottom of this framework that I'm talking about is what I call AWA. It's your ability, right? It's your ability to want to do something. You have the ability to do it. You showed up. You got some skills, right? But are you willing to take the action? Are you willing? And a lot of people aren't willing to shift into what they might feel is mainstream, or they want to be different. And so if you're not willing, then you're always going to show up with the super tight pants on. You're always going to show up like that because you're not willing to see things from a different perspective, right? And likewise, maybe we're missing something, but it's all in the communication of it all, literally. I believe that when we start believing that, we can talk to each other like, hey, you know, if it's your boy, if it's your girl, and they not seeing the reality of it, sit them down. And be like, you know what, this is what I noticed. We've been here, you know, we've been friends for a really long time, and I'm starting to notice a little shift, and I wanted to talk to you about it. You open? Right? If it's someone you don't know, well, guess what? They walking into that reality, and I would ask you to take a look at, do you really want to put your time, energy, and resource into that person? If the answer is no, then I say keep on moving. If the answer is yes, because you want to take that time, that energy, that resource in order to spend it with them because they matter to you, they're helping you move to where you want to go, you can help them move to where they want to go because you see beyond the potential that they see right now, then I say have a conversation. Communicate so that now you can help them shift their perspective if they're willing to see a little differently.
If they're willing.
It sounds so easy. Yeah.
So easy.
It's not that easy, believe me. It's really not easy. I think there's a process to everything. But I think that when we shift our own lens, then, you know, I'm an engineer by trade, and so things come into stages for me. So it's kind of like 1, 2, 3, 4, check, 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 check. So it's always process-driven with me. But what I had to do was open myself up a little bit more to, you know, become more aware, honestly, of self and of others, to become more aware, like asking for feedback. I think feedback is literally a gift. I ask for feedback all the time, all the time. And listen, you take what you can use, and then you leave the rest at the bus stop. Absolutely.
Leave the rest
Absolutely.
At the bus stop. You are in tune to the Social Lab for our special guest tonight, Coach Lolita Walker. We'll be right back.
Long radio show.
It is 6:32 on the West Coast, 9:32 here in the ATL. Congratulations to the Atlanta Hawks who put in that win last night over the Philadelphia 76ers, man. They, man, it was a party in the ATL last night. Litty in the city. And 917-889-3926. If you have a question, I want to tap into the conversation tonight with Executive Coach Lolita Walker. That's Lolita. What hot chocolate? It's Lolita
with
what?
With a T.
We talk about power, passion, and purpose tonight. You talked a lot about soul work. Soul work. I love that phrase. Soul work. You know, we got to be able to answer the question you said to, what are your top three strengths? Hot chocolate, Tilo. If Coach were to ask you that question right now, and she might before the end of the show, wink, wink, what are your top three strengths? It's important to know, what are you grateful for? What are you grateful for? Gratitude, and the power of gratitude is extremely important, guys. That's a mindset shift. That's a mindset shift. A mindset shift. And if you are looking to receive a blanket of calm in the midst of your storm, because there are many, many storms that we go through in life. And if you haven't gone through a storm, keep living, because one is coming your way. And the way that you can combat that in advance is by posturing yourself with some gratitude. 917-889-3926. 917-889-3926. Hey, we take this conversation over to Clubhouse at 10, and we keep the conversation going on a whole nother level, because it's a whole different vibe over there on Clubhouse. And we invite you to participate in the conversation. Lolita, you mentioned that you were an engineer. I will clarify that you are a industrial engineer.
Yes.
And you talked about how it comes to you in phases, as far as how you approach things. Hot Chocolate asked a question earlier about overcoming fear. You talked about experiencing some life changes, right? I mean, divorce, having a child, father passing away of cancer, my grandfather passed away of cancer. And what I can tell you in retrospect, and this is back in 2010 or 2011, one of those years, I think it's 2011, I did not really know until after the fact that I had experienced a slight bout of depression after my grandfather passed away. And I kind of disconnected from some people, places, and things without even knowing that I had disconnected from those things. And so people proactively talk about depression. I would never have said that I've ever been depressed, but I think, you know, recently being engaged in so many dynamic conversations, specifically a conversation about shifting the patterns of your behavior and tracking things back. I was able to track something back to that. And so Hot Chocolate's question was, how did you move beyond financial fear or identifying that, you know, in the shift that you weren't making enough? Can you talk to us a little bit more about crossroads? Because I think many of us are at a crossroad right now coming out of COVID, right, where we can see how we live, what we have to do to never be in a bind again. I'm not sure if we have the silver bullet, but I do know that conversations like this help. Folks at a crossroad right now financially, they're looking to go higher, but they feel like they're sinking lower. What advice do you have for them?
Yeah, I think there's a couple things you can do. If you're working a 9-to-5, let's take a look at your wins over the last quarter. Let's take a look at your accomplishments and how you gave value to the company. Let's take a look at what you can start to write on your quarterly review for your individual development plan, or what you are working with your manager, right? Let's start to have open conversations about your expectations, like, hey, this is what I'm doing and what needs to be true for me to increase my pay to X. Right. I think having hard conversations is what's going to be imperative when you're standing up in your confidence, because you're getting more clear on what is it that's going to make you happy inside of this space. So that's if you're working like a 9-to-5 job, a corporate job, or somewhere that you have a boss over you, you can start to kind of talk about those things. Right. I think that if you are at a cap of where you are and you're simply struggling with money, because we know we're in a pandemic, people are getting laid off, people have more, I think, expenses as they take care of family because they didn't have rent. It's just a lot going on right now, right? So you really might be in a space where money is extremely tight and you just can't see a way out. If that is what you're doing right now, if that's how you're feeling right now, I would take a pause, because sometimes it can overwhelm us. And I've absolutely been there. And I think taking a look to resources, so let's talk Clubhouse. Now, everybody, you don't want to divulge everything to, but you need to start to listen and look intently. Listen to who's giving recommendations on financial spaces. Go into those rooms. Make it intentional. Again, wherever this direction is, it means that you sat down, you recognize and you became aware of your current situation. You are choosing to embrace that right now, and now you're going to figure out how you're going to act and thrive. And what that means is, what is it that you can do that is in your power to touch base with people who might be doing better than you, so you can get clear in asking them for the ask? And some of it is you just listening and learning, literally, listening and learning. Let's get clear on what your expenses are. What are your expenses, and then what are you bringing in? Which one of your expenses can you start to let go of a little bit? Like, what is a want and what is an absolute need for what you need right now? Absolutely. So let's take a look at your credit cards and your interest rates. Like, get that stuff down. Stop paying banks and other places more money than you're actually paying yourself. That could be money you're putting in your pocket. So find these spaces and these places where you can ask questions and not only write them down, but start to implement them and put them in your day intentionally. I'm sorry. Somebody was saying something.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. I was just trying to get clarity on when you say find places and spaces.
Yeah.
What are your recommendations for that? You mentioned, I guess, as a place or a space. Are there any others that you would recommend?
Oh, absolutely. So one is Clubhouse. I think y'all are on Clubhouse, it sounds like. So there's, you know, you can search for financial clubs or money matters. Or I was just in one today. Actually, I was just in one today called the Mom Link with Gina Skelton, and it was literally talking about money matters. And people were giving so many dope ideas of how to start today. So that's one, Clubhouse. You can find folks that's talking about that, right, financial stuff, and how tips and tricks on what you can do from a base level in order to start reducing some of the debt that you're working on now. There's people that talk about credit scores and how do you improve your credit scores. And literally some of these are free masterclasses that's right there for you if you choose to kind of listen in. So that's that one. Another resource, since you asked about some other resources, now, you know, I'm not in the financial space, but I have very good credit because, thank God, my father and mother were on top of me, and I'm lucky to have had that type of guidance. But I think another space is literally the library, and I'm not even joking. The library is a great resource because as you start talking to librarians, you'll be surprised how much they know and what books they can literally recommend and not recommend. So start asking. Another thing is there are so many, especially during the pandemic, free courses that you can take that really are around financial literacy at different levels. So you can look at that. And let me think. Another one is I have a financial advisor or wealth advisor, and I ask all types of questions. I ask about diversification of my money. How can I make my money grow beyond sitting inside of a checking account, which is drawing no interest? Just educating yourself on how your money can grow, how the little bit of your money that you have right now can grow while you don't have to be as aggressive with it if your funds are low. You know, it's really about choices that you can make now because there's some stuff you can start doing right now. And, again, I'm not in financial services. This is just what I have done in order to make sure that I'm at a decent space for how I want to live. But what I'll say is that start with writing down literally your expenses. What are your expenses every single month? Put it in a spreadsheet. And then how much money are you making a month? Do you have more expenses than you're making or you're bringing in? That means you're already working at a deficit. So now you need to start looking at your expenses. Do I need every single cable channel that is out there? Do I really? Right. Do I really need to go out to the bar every single night? Or can I go to the liquor store and buy something and then shave off 50% of that for this month? Do I really need to eat out every single night, or could I really go get some groceries for a couple weeks and make some food? Like, where can you start to reduce those so that now the money that you did spend, you can start to put in an interest-bearing account to make your money grow for you?
Fellas, do you really need those rims? Do you really need those Timberlands? Ladies, do you really need all that weave? Do you really need them nails done this Saturday? You know, you have to be able to sacrifice. She said, what's a need versus a want? What's a need, black people, versus a want? We have to shift from being major consumers of, right, to being on the other side, right? It's a mindset shift. Go ahead. I didn't know how chocolate, if you were trying to jump in or seal up that machine, I'm not sure.
Oh, no.
Okay. Somebody was trying to. Okay.
You know, I think that, you know, when we think about want and need, sometimes what people think are wants are absolutely needs, real talk. And that's up to you to choose. I remember when I first moved to, I used to live in Boston. And I remember leaving the DMV and living in Boston, and I remember when I first got my first financial advisor, and she was going through my expenses, and she talked to me about wants and needs to categorize them. And she said, well, I see you have a housekeeper here. I think that that is a want. And I said, no, that's an absolute need. It's a need for me. It's a need for me because I know it might be a want for you, but I stuck to it, and it's because of convenience for me. It took time that was unnecessary for me when I could get somebody to do that work, and it gave me a sense of peace. So that is a need for me. And I think, you know, sometimes getting your nails done is a need for your for your state of mind. You don't have to give up everything. It's just choices that you can make to be choiceful and be strategic, because we really don't need everything. But that's if you have a goal of increasing your cash flow, right?
Right.
And we're not even talking about, you know, your own business, or we're not talking about any stuff like that. We're just talking about what you got right now and how can you, you know, start to make choices to make that small amount of money feel a little bigger than what it is right now.
Because it doesn't matter where you are, you can start today. I think a lot of people think that you
mm-hmm.
have to, you know, have a certain amount. You have to be in a certain position. No, you have to start where you are today, making better choices and identifying your wants versus your needs. Our special guest tonight, Executive Coach Lolita. She's the author of The Intersection of You and Change. And we've been talking about how to make dynamic change all evening. You can go back and check out the top of the podcast and, you know, not miss out. 917-889-3926 is the number you can dial to tap in before we take the conversation over to Clubhouse. You got to be willing to have tough conversations. A lot of us, I think because of imposter syndrome and, you know, our patterns of behavior, things that have happened to us, people who said mean things to us when we were kids and teenagers, you know, we have those scars from way back when still impacting us today. And at some mm-hmm. point, you just have to bite the bullet, shift, and decide that you're going forward. Like, you can't change what happened yesterday. You can't even touch or change what's going to happen tomorrow because we aren't there yet. It's extremely important to operate in the now. Operate in the now. There's some things that you can do to get better, because most of us do not know what expenses we really have total. Can't speak to it, right? We don't really know. And we must know, because that's called handling your business. We count the money that's coming in, even though we spend most of it. But do you really know your income and your outcome? Do you really know what you need to get to the next level? We have to spend more time putting the work in. We have to do more soul work. What are your strengths? What are you grateful for? What are the opportunities? I heard something this week that certainly helped me when it comes to spending. Black people, African Americans, are the number one spenders in America. We make a lot of money. We make a lot of money. We just don't save a lot of money. And we certainly don't make our money work for us holistically, together, right? Because we would own a whole lot more stuff if we did. But the one thing I heard, and I put it to work this week, when it comes to purchasing things, the one thing that I learned is that wealthy people do not spend their own money on things. Wealthy people spend their profit
mm-hmm.
on things, not their own money, the profit that they make. What do I mean? Glad you asked. They invest
right.
their money, and when they make a profit from that money, they spend the profit on things that they like cars and boats and houses and vacations, right? And then they reinvest the money so that they can make more profit. What am I saying? We have to shift our mentality. We have to identify wants versus needs, because that's upside down, specifically in our culture. It's upside down. It's called priorities. We have to become more decisive, make better choices. If you have missed most of this, go back to the top of this show. The podcast will be available about 20, 25 minutes after the show. Executive Coach Lolita Walker has dropped jewels. You can check out her website at lolitawalker.com. That's where you can get the intersection of you and change and a whole lot of other tips and information and great downloads. Coach Walker, you talked about your son and gratitude and affirmation and him being like, well, I got to say another affirmation. what I know for a fact is we should raise a child in the way that they should go and they will not turn from it. And I could remember, you know, days like, do I got to go to church again? Do I got to sing in the choir again? And what I know for a fact is those things foundationally made me who I am today. You know, the values, the morals, the character, the integrity, all of that stuff matters foundationally. And so I commend you on being such a dope mom, first and foremost, but a positive influence.
Thank you.
Absolutely. You are very welcome. Because you're doing the soul work. You're not just challenging others to do the work, right? You've done it yourself. So it's easy for you to speak out, right? Because you've actually done the work. Also mentioned that you were a poet. And I want to share that Madam CeeLo Ball, also a poet. And she wrote a book recently. So before we get out of here, Boston, please share your book and how people can pick it up. But Lolita, can you share, because I heard a poem, I think earlier today, that you shared. Can you talk a little bit more about your poetry and how Clubhouse reactivated some things? Then can you share a poem with us, please?
Oh, sure. You probably heard a poem before Father's Day. I was doing, I have this Dear Daddy poem, so poetry has always been in my bones. You know, when I was young, I used to write poems, so I hated my parents. I was like, oh, it's not fair. And I just would go to a pen and pad and just write all my feelings out, and it turned into poetry. And I gave it up for a little while, really because I was just busy. Went to college, didn't write as much anymore, and it wasn't until I wrote my first book that I noticed that, okay, it's a little teeny bit of poetry at the start of each one. But when I got on Clubhouse, there are some dope poets on Clubhouse. And I remember going into a room and feeling out like I was at Poetry Jam. I mean, there was some music going on. There were poets that were going. And I decided just to raise my hand and say, okay, I got a little poem right here. Let me see. And I did that scared. I did that scared because they were so dope. And I kind of felt like, ooh, I don't know if I'm good enough to be going up on this. And I did. And after that, I used to go to a poetry room every single morning, every single morning. I was writing a poem a day. And they just pushed me, and they continue to. Honestly, I still stay in poetry rooms because there's poetry prompts. There are pictures that you write prompts to, 1 minute, 3 minute, 5 minute, just always going in improv. I'm not too good at that, but improv, you know, you name it and it's going. So there is the poetry within me, and I find myself saying it on Clubhouse all the time, just saying different poems. I'm happy to do a poem. I think you were, or I'm happy for my son to share his affirmation, either or.
Oh, either one of those would be great.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll have him share his affirmation that he does every day. I wrote this one. He's been saying it since he was three. Every year we add a line, or we modify a line based on what he's going through. Hey, I'd like for you to say your affirmation, please. Okay, you ready? Y'all ready on the radio?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Okay, cool. Ready? So this is Walker George Bishop. Just say your name and then do your affirmation. I can clear it.
Okay. Hi, my name is Walker George Bishop. This is my affirmation. I am great. I am strong. I'll try to focus all day long. I am special. I am me. Today I'll be the best that I can be. I honor my name, Walker GB. I'm a child of God. I'll do what's right indeed. I'm an excellent. I'm allergic to average, and I'll try to do my best all day long. Nothing can stop me from being the best. Even when I fall down, I'm still better than the rest.
Oh, that is beautiful.
I love it.
He was allergic to average. Yes,
yes,
sir.
Yes.
Oh, man. That's
beautiful.
So lit.
Thank you.
Hey, man. Thank you, sir. Hey, that's a young king right there.
How old is that young king?
I'm allergic to average two. Nine.
Baby, that was wonderful.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
You're more than welcome.
More than welcome.
Thank you for blessing us with that.
Is it George Michael? Is that his name?
No, Walker George Bishop.
That is
rich.
Yes, it is, right? What I told him. I said, you destined for greatness, honey. Walker George Bishop. I said, you about to be a judge or something, honey. You are it. Act accordingly. Act accordingly, brother.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Walking your young queen.
Thanks, y'all. Yes. We got to praise children. We got to remember to help them walk into their greatness because they don't always see it. The world is moving so differently and so quickly, very different than us, right?
Right.
Absolutely.
Very different than us. Ladies and gentlemen, we have been blessed tonight with our special guest, executive coach Lolita Walker, man, who so graciously just shared her son, Walker George Bishop, with us, who just dropped a dope affirmation. And so, man, he was allergic to average. That just jumped out at me, and it's a stamp on my forehead. Listen, you too should be allergic to average. The one thing I did not call out, and I know there's a serious connection because of it, right? Your frequency is high. Lolita is HBCU made and DMV raised. The DMV, we are proud to be DMV made on this show as well. Hampton Roads, off of the beach. You know what I'm saying?
Heaven, baby.
Yeah.
I love it.
Indeed. Folks, we're about to take this conversation over to Clubhouse. We always say for about 45 minutes to an hour. But on Wednesday, that conversation went on forever, it seems. And so we are also going to pace this to say for about 45 minutes to an hour. Coach Walker, we know that you're on early with me around 5 in the morning. So this has been a long
time. Yeah.
And you have, Walker George Bishop to take care of. So if you can just help us to kick the conversation off.
Okay.
Please,
I got 30 minutes on it. We're going to do it. We got 30 minutes on it. Let's do it.
We're going to get in and get out. One closing share that you have for people who are just trying to break beyond where they are right now?
Yeah. You know, what I will tell you is remember that you are greatness where you stand. You might not feel like you are, but you got to know that you were born greatness. Like, you are it. You embody it. Now it's just about pulling that greatness out of you so that you can see it. One of the things I always say is one of my affirmations in my 40 deck card of affirmations, it says, I am the greatness that others have yet to see. And sometimes that includes you, right? Sometimes you can't see your greatness because we're too bogged down by the distractions that are in our way, the doubt, the fear, the anxiety, the stress, like all of that, the things that people want for us. And sometimes it's us that's bogging us down ourselves. So what I will say is remember that you stand in greatness and you've been at this junction before. So you got this.
You got this. And if you want to keep the conversation going, jump over to Clubhouse with us, Coach Walker. You are officially a friend of this show. And you're welcome back here anytime. No, absolutely.
Thank you
for that conversation and for being authentically who you are. Much love and blessings to you and Walker George Bishop. I'll never forget that name. Hey, we got out of here, folks.
It.
Headed over to Clubhouse. Hey, have a great evening.
DM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. DM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. DM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. Live.
Talk radio show. Talk radio show. Real talk. Real talk. Talk radio show. DM Hyman live. DM Hyman live. DM Hyman live. Talk radio show. DM Hyman live. DM Hyman live. Talk radio show.